Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to season 3 of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Man, we have so many truths in store. We got special guests. We got various mental health tips throughout the week of during the month of May. Y'all, we just have so much jam-packed this season. We're so excited to bring you all the new things and great vision that we have to you on Jesus Plus Therapy 6. But listen, do me a favor. Go ahead, like, share, subscribe, and follow us on all podcast platforms and all social media platforms. We are so excited about this season, and you don't want to miss what we have in store. We even did a live this past week with a special guest, and that episode will be coming out soon. So if you're not following us on our Facebook page, you may want to go do so and look at that live that we did with our special guest in a deep, raw conversation. And listen, today's community partner is Black Girl Body Podcast with Charlize Bishop, who is our guest speaker for this episode. So go ahead and like the podcast. It's coming out this spring/summer. So get ready. And it's full of raw conversations. It's filled with thought-provoking thoughts when it comes to Black women and how we operate in this society. All right. Are y'all ready? Let's go ahead and go to season 3 of Jesus Plus Therapy 6. Hey, welcome to season 3 of Jesus Plus Therapy 6. And listen, y'all, this is going to be a whole different season because we're going to have special guests. We're going to have special episodes. And listen, I'm sure you're hearing the mental health tips we have going on for the month of May as we, Jesus Plus Therapy 6, become so empowered to break the stigma of mental health. And y'all, I got my sis in the building. I mean, she is like, we met, I was her boss at the time. And yeah. We just connected. I fell in love with her, and I love the fact that she has been growing. Y'all, she growing by leaps and bounds and doing all kind of big things. Y'all, help me welcome my sister Charlize Bishop into the building.
Hey, everybody.
Yes. Hey, sis. Okay, listen. I'm so excited to have you on and to have this conversation. I know that when we worked together, body image was everything. And I remember you sharing your story when it came to body image and just how you got into this space of dealing with eating disorders and body shaming and all of that. And so let's dive in. Let's talk about the body image that saves, and let's talk about your journey and how you got here.
Yeah. So thank you so much again for having me here today. And I'm super excited to talk about body image and all that good stuff, because that is my passion, spreading awareness about eating disorders, body image, Black mental health. All those things are just what I love to do. So I actually struggled with body image issues and eating disorders it started early on, but I really didn't get a full awareness of what was happening until I became, you know, early 20s in college. And as I'm working in this, trying to get my master's degree, get my bachelor's degree, and I get placed in this internship. And this internship is actually at an eating disorder facility. And so then I'm here and I'm realizing that the things that I'm doing that is not, that's disordered itself. And so just kind of figuring out, you know, my footing in the field. And I realized, you know, like there's some things that I'm doing that's not helpful, it's not conducive. And I'm also dealing with anxiety, depression at this time. And so then once I was able to kind of go through my own therapeutic journey and really do my own healing, I was then able to be now a voice for Black people, Black women who have body image issues, who have disordered eating. You know, just let you know, like, it's here, it happens. It's not just a young white woman's issue. It could be anybody's issue, right? It could be larger people, smaller people, dark, Black, Hispanic, whoever it is, it can happen to anybody. And so I just really wanted to be a voice and just kind of bridge that gap between what's a myth and what's actually factual information. And so now I've just been kind of on this journey, just really educating people about what's happening in our community, what's real, what's not real, you know, and just it's happening every single day.
Yeah, and so I remember us talking, we had a meeting, I was trying to talk about an idea, and we ended up talking about how food has played such a great part in our culture and how we see food and mm-hmm. how that affects the body image. And so when we talk about the body image that saves, when it comes to Black women in general and body image, what's the one thing you see in the community when it comes to our body image?
Mm-hmm. Here recently, this kind of current theme that has happened is that everybody's kind of going towards this snatched body, you know, and that's really what's like the hot topic right now, the BBLs, the lipo, things like that. So that's what I'm seeing a lot of. And then like, I can even remember specifically a client who actually went through and had the BBL and then actually realized like, hey, I'm still not happy with myself. Still not happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so we got to really do the work. It's not just about trying to fix that outer body piece. And so, you know, that is something that I'm seeing that's, you know, it's in even in social media, it's in the music, it's mm-hmm. everywhere, this whole snatched body. Mm-hmm. But even on the flip side of that, you have our people and who are binging, and binge eating disorder is actually the number one eating disorder in the Black community. Oh. You know, it's feeding that mind, body, and soul, and how it just kind of keep going and keep going and keep going. And so those are two things, binge eating disorder, and then this idea of having this snatched body is what.
Can you give us a little bit more? What is binging and how does it look? How do I know I'm binging?
Yeah, so binging is usually you are eating like large portions of food, larger than what would be considered a normal portion. And a lot of times you either eating it in secrecy, you maybe have a certain place you like to eat it at. And there's no like trying to get rid of it. It's just more so of like I'm eating large consumptions of whatever this is at one sitting, one single time. Like I said, a big part of that is coming from hiding it too. So some people might binge in the car, or they might binge in the bathroom, or they may have certain binge foods. So like they make it eat regular on a regular day, but then if they go to Taco Bell, they're going to order three number threes or, you know, something like that, and just kind of just eat it all up. And the idea is to make, is to try to make yourself feel something. Like you're trying to feel like maybe you're depressed and you're trying to feel some type of energy or whatever that is. And it's just keeps going and going and going. Now, a thing that's more specific to Black people is in the food that we cook, we have these fatty, greasy, high carb foods that we eat and cook with, and it tastes good, right?
Right.
And so then after you eat it, you're like, I want more of that, I want more of that, I want more of that. And so eventually sometimes people can realize, like, oh, okay, I feel really good now that I kind of just ate my troubles away. And now I just ate four plates of food. Mm-hmm. So does that answer your question?
Yeah. So what I'm hearing, and let me put it out there that Charlie is a licensed marriage and family therapist. So y'all get two therapists tonight, okay? Because yes. Usually just me, girl, just me. And so with that being said, how does that look from a mental health perspective? We know what it looks like in action, but what's the mental health? Is binging associated with any particular mental health disorder? Is it associated with depression? Is it associated with anxiety? Is it associated with any bipolarism? So is there any mental health disorders that are associated with the binging, like they coincide together?
Yeah, and there's a lot, what you just named, are a lot of the co-occurring disorders that goes along with the eating disorder. You see a lot of anxiety, depression, PTSD from some type of trauma, substance abuse or dependency, bipolar mood disorders. Those things are also pop up too. You know, the thing with eating disorders across the board is that there's this sense of control. And so you're trying to find your footing in a world, in your world, where it may be extremely low, extremely dark, and you can't really get out of it. Or if you're kind of in this high pace, always anxious, always overthinking, kind of just in this place of consistent worry, you can realize like, hey, I know that this certain thing will make me feel better, will make me, you know, kind of calm down. And that's kind of like my drug. In a sense, the binging is the drug. And so, yeah, you see it all the time. You see depression. And then especially you got to think about if you're binging, I'm not going to say 9 times out of 10, but it's likely that if you're binging, you're also struggling with weight issues. And so you're also having this low self-esteem because, you know, I can't stop eating. I want to stop eating, but I'm also gaining weight, but I can't stop because it makes me feel good. You know, I think about the people on like my 600 pound life, you know, and so they have binge eating disorders all day, you know, then they also have that piece of like, I'm so sad. I'm in the bed all day. I can't do anything. And it brings on this world of just depression. And so, you know, it's just, it's sad in a sense when it gets to be that extreme. And it just, it's common. That's the thing. It's so common and people don't even realize how common it is.
Can we, when we're thinking about the body image, say, so, you know, we have that little Jesus piece. How does that look in the church? When you think about body image in the church, how does it look in the church, girl?
That's interesting. You know, the first thing that I think about when I think of the church and I think of body image, I think of how we dress. And, you know, there's this certain, you're not supposed to wear your dress too high up. It may show you, you looking fast at this point. You're supposed to have a laptop on.
Right.
You know, and so I'm thinking like how, if you have the elders pointing out how you're dressed, how that could kind of affect the body, like body shaming, you know, or subconscious, like kind of just thinking about like, oh, am I showing too much? Should I not be showing too much? Or, you know, I can't help that my body's naturally shaped like this and my clothes fit me like this, you know? So that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I'm thinking of the church and I'm thinking of how my body is presented in the church. And I'm also thinking of women, of course, because women get the ones that pick out her dress too low. She need to put some stockings on or something like that. I think about that. Yeah.
I know you like what she was turning. If y'all can see how she's over here, wheels turning. Like, man, I need to add that to the repertoire. I need to do some research on that, right? And I say that because exactly what you said. Like, you know, a lot of times I'm a plus size girl. Yeah, I'm gonna be plus size to dad that because I love food. And even though I've changed my diet, it has allowed me to kind of consume more in order to have a fulfillment, even though I'm doing the water and making sure I'm drinking more liquid so I don't overeat. I think, you know, I'm just to the point like I gotta check my DNA. I ain't that many skinny women in my family, right? Exactly. You gotta like, let me check my DNA. Oh, ain't that many skinny women in my family. So I can't, there's some things I just can't change, right? And you know, I can lose the weight and slim it down, but there's some things in our DNA that just won't change. And do you feel like that's what people are trying to do? So let's go back to these surgeries, because I've been seeing a lot of posts. I saw one girl, she went to like Mexico or somewhere, and then they end up daily trying to get all these surgeries because they're going to foreign countries because they're a little bit cheaper. What do you think, how can we as therapists help people really identify on the why of getting the surgery, right? That snatch body. Do we help them identify, like, what does a snatch body mean? Or are we helping them to understand how they portray that image? What do you think?
It can get tricky because you hear some people say, you know, I'm getting this surgery done for me because I want to feel good. I want to feel pretty about myself. And then you have some people who are falling up under peer pressure, falling up under the friends and who just trying to be in the mix, right? And so it's depending on what is the underlying reasoning behind doing this, right? Because even when you're working with just body dysmorphia in general, which is when you, body dysmorphia is when you look in the mirror and you see something that's not really there. And so when you're dealing with things like this, you have to be able to go towards the, am I still there? Mm-hmm. You're saying internet connection is unstable. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Look, y'all. Okay. Y'all know the disclaimer. We record at night, and y'all know at night the internet be going slow. So listen, bear with us.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So yeah, trying to get that underlining, you know, fear or anxiousness or sadness, and really trying to highlight that. Because a lot of times it's not even about, I'm getting the surgery done just to get the surgery done. It's really because I don't feel good within my own skin. My esteem is low or something like that. Now, even if, you know, you kind of work through those things, some people still may want to go through with the surgery. They still may be able to heal and process and things like that, but some will just still do it, and that's their own, you know, that's their prerogative, yeah, in a sense.
Do you feel like, so yeah, I'm looking at this, do you feel like just like some, when they have gastro bypass surgery or some type of, you, even when you get the sleeve, you know, they tell you you need to go to some type of, and we see that on 600 Power Life, right? That we see them kind of, the doctor says, hey, you need to go to therapy, you need to complete this amount of sessions before I can even do the surgery. Do you feel like that needs to be with any surgery that alters mm-hmm. your physical body, that people may need yes. to go through a therapeutic process?
I really do, because like I mentioned earlier, that I had this one client, I didn't give her a lot of detail, but she came to me on like, let's say a Monday, and she came to get a surgery done on Friday. So I'm like, oh, okay, but you came to therapy for a reason. I'm not going to talk you out of it because you already paid your money. But had you have come and start processing the things way before your appointment, you wouldn't have came to me a month and a half later and said, Charlotte, that I really wasn't feeling there. Like, I still feel sad. I still feel unhappy, even though I got this surgery done. That wouldn't have happened because you would have processed that it wasn't about you getting a bigger butt. That wasn't a thing. It was the fact that you didn't feel like you were pretty because of your skin color. And you felt like because your skin was too dark, that getting something else that it kind of bring more attention and kind of pull away from how dark your skin was, then that was the thing. And so it was colorism.
Yeah, we have some technical difficulties. Again, remember that we record at night. She is, so we were talking about, you were saying it was about the colorism that she was feeling.
Did it cut out?
And then it cut out, girl. It cut out.
So it was about the, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. It was about the colorism piece up under there. So I really feel like if she had came to me a month or so earlier, she may have reevaluated the real reason behind getting the BBL and maybe waited to get it or not even got it in the first place. But I do believe, I said that to say, I do believe that if anyone is going to have a body altering surgery, you need to go through some type of therapy post, but definitely pre, before you get this done, for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about colorism, right? Because I think
I had something to go back to with the church too. So I wrote a note about that.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about colorism. I think that's a unspoken saying that we talk about amongst us as clinicians. But I think that's not something we talk about within our culture. And I think That in itself is a body image that saves, right? So we know that the light skin is a saving body image. The lighter you are, the greater your ability to survive as a Black person, right? The darker you are, the harder it is. And if you in between, it just depends on how you talk and present, right? So let's talk about let's talk about this colorism. What do you feel? Do you feel like in that space of colorism? So for those who don't know, colorism is the ability, it's literally an internal racism within the culture. It's the dark versus the light. It's the darker the better, sweeter the juice type things. And also when you light, you're the house slave, but when you dark, you're in the field. That's the colorism that we're talking about. And we still see that to this day. We see that through social media, how people tease dark-skinned women. We see that in magazines and in various images when portraying Black people. And we see light-skinned people as the safe people when it comes to other cultures, especially the white culture. We see them as safe people, right? How does that affect how we see ourselves, especially in the church? How do you think that affects that space, that colorism?
In the church particularly?
Well, just in general. How do you feel like colorism kind of portrays into that body image?
I could talk all day about colorism. I could talk all day because it's everywhere. It's music, it's TV, it's podcasts, social media.
So yeah, we are having a lot of technical difficulties tonight. But we're gonna see a try.
And I got all my bars.
Listen, I tell you, when you record at night, girl, it be so much stuff. But you were saying that we see colorism everywhere, in social media and things like that. And so when you were saying, you know, we see colorism everywhere, she still froze out. I'm still trying to fill it in. But when we talk about colorism,
dang.
We gonna get it together.
I'm gonna change location.
Okay. Because sometimes, you know, your location at night be crazy. But this is good conversation, y'all. We having good conversation. But no, I think, Charla, as you change locations, I think when we talk about colorism, I think it's also, we can see that reflects also negatively in that snatched body mentality, right? And I say that when we talk about Lizzo, right, versus Rihanna.
Yes.
Right? That's a great example, right? And Lizzo, as we know, is a plus-size woman, and she's brown-skinned. But Rihanna is also about the same complexion, but the difference between the two is not just size. So we're talking about a pregnant Rihanna versus a plus-size Lizzo. And it was still the mentality toward Lizzo was, ooh, look at her.
She need to cover up.
She need to cover up. But Rihanna, with her whole pregnant belly out, oh, she's so cute. She's so this, she's so that, right? And how that plus that body image difference, right? And they probably just, I won't say same size, but the image that she was trying to portray is her pregnant belly ain't as bad as me showing my regular belly. Like, it's the same size pretty much. Like,
right.
And I think a lot of times what we don't realize is that we are body shaming people based upon the discomfort of us.
Mm-hmm. We're uncomfortable being plus size, showing all our stomach out. So we project that onto another plus size person. Or we're uncomfortable with certain parts of our body, so we project that out onto the next person, yep, or the next celebrity with our little comments and or our alerts and things like that. So I think a lot of times what happens is we don't realize we're projecting our insecurities out on other people. Mm-hmm. And that's the same as colorism, right? The dark-skinned girl versus the light-skinned girl. Well, we know in history tells us that darker-skinned people are more stronger,
yep,
more resilient. They're more bold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been portrayed that light-skinned people are more timid and, mm-hmm, and sweet and nice and so hospitable. Right? And so I think, mm-hmm, because of that colorism mentality, we have to be totally aware of what we're portraying against, right, a person. If you can hate somebody who's dark skinned because you see their boldness and you're not, yep, bold, or you can see, mm-hmm, somebody light skinned who's humble and quiet and, you know, is always attracting friends because you don't attract friends, and you associate those two things with their skin complexion instead of their personality.
Mm-hmm. You just hating on them at this point.
Right. Just hating all the way through and through. Go ahead. What were you about to say?
Well, I was thinking about what you said, like going pulling back to Rihanna and Lizzo and how that is real. You know, I hadn't even thought about that the pregnant Rihanna, people are still glorifying and saying, like, oh, she still looks good, da da da. But when Lizzo is half naked, it's like, oh, like, ew, like nasty cover up type of thing. And I'm just thinking about like the fairness and how that's not fair. And, you know, and it's our culture, mm-hmm, that's the business in. It's us tearing us down, and it's, mm-hmm, us women tearing each other women down. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when do we find a point to where we all can kind of just work together, or like, you know, build each other up, empower each other, and not bring this hater mentality, right? Because that's, mm-hmm, all it is. It's like, I like that you said the word projection, but what I don't think I'm hearing is she hating.
I gave you the clinical term, projecting.
Yeah.
Transfer.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so unfortunate, but it happens every single day. And then when you have social media where you could just at the click of a button could just, mm-hmm, say whatever you want, mm-hmm, it's like, why not? Like, why respect each other when you can just say whatever you want for millions of miles away? And, you know, like,
Only rock and hide your hand, as the people say, right?
Right.
So how do we get people to a healthy place culturally, yeah, outside the culture, to see themselves? Like, what was your story? How did you start seeing yourself? And we're going to dive into your podcast. How did you, yeah, start seeing yourself as beautiful?
Ooh. No, she did hit a little button and... that's interesting for you to ask me that, because just being transparent, this boldness, this confidence, this what people see now, it hadn't truly been there until like these past couple of years after I had a daughter. Mm-hmm. I had my daughter in 2018, so she's 3 years old. She'll be 4 this year. And at that moment, I went through, of course, going through pregnancy, my body's shifting, my body's changing. I'm really not liking it. I'm really thinking I'm bigger than what I am. And then when I had her, I was like, I have to be able to show her, you know, that she's beautiful, that she's has something to live for, that she's worth it, that she matters. And so from that point forward, it just kind of like a light switch went off. And I was like, I'm the baddest thing walking right now. I'm beautiful. I am smart. I am like, I just started giving myself all these different affirmations. And once I started to literally lift my head up, because for so long, my head was just dropped down. I felt like I wasn't worth anything. I can even remember, and people from Birmingham know this restaurant, it's Perry's restaurant. And I can remember before I had my daughter, somebody asked me on a date to go there. And I'm like, I'm not supposed to go there. Like, why would you take me to Perry's? That's how low my self-esteem was, that I didn't feel like I was worth going to a nice restaurant. Mm. You know what I mean? Even though I have these things behind me, I have a degree, I have a license, I'm working in a career, it wasn't good enough for me. But when I had that little girl, and I went through my own healing, and I went through my own journey with therapy, I realized, like, I am worth a plate of gold, right? Right. God promised me overflow. He promised me more than I could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And so that too, just kind of my connection with God, you know, growing my relationship there and realizing, like, he is the judge. He is the maker. He is the one who really matters. Nobody else matters at this point. And so trying to be a role model for my daughter and then building my relationship with God to where now me and my baby, like, if I somehow forget to pray, she gonna come say, mom, we gotta say our grace. When she trying to say we need to pray, like, I'm building that relationship with her too. So you know, I'm really glad that you asked me that, because I, for a long time, I don't even think people even noticed it. People probably never noticed because of my character, because of my personality. Mm-hmm. But now I really do believe, like, I am beautiful, I am smart, I am strong. Who gonna check me?
Right. Like, who gonna check me, boo?
Period.
Right. And it's so amazing that you said that, because I feel like that's the same thing for me in my journey, mm-hmm. right? Being always teased and bullied for being plus size, being different, and now looking and being like, dang, all these plus size models and women and even, you know, and we're both in sororities, so seeing our sorority mm-hmm. sisters and other sister Greeks look like us, go mm-hmm. glamorous and just be so beautiful, it's like, oh, I got this, I can do yes. this, right? And so I think a lot of times, and I just got to that journey, honestly, mm-hmm. Charlie, like maybe 2 years ago, I mm-hmm. honestly, probably during the pandemic, it yep. was just like you said, a light bulb just came on, like, girl, do you know who you are? Do you know who you influence, right? So yes. I don't have the kids yet, and I don't have, you know, the mate or anybody, but it's just the fact that, like, oh, you got a Charlie that you know, and you keep rooting her, she keep rooting you. That's an influence, right? And so
heavy on the influence, Shondrika, because you have done so much for younger clinicians. I don't even know if you even realize how much you've done. Just your push from when we met pushed right, me, right. you know? And so influence, heavy on the influence, because you are doing that. You are doing it.
I try, but see, here's the thing. I felt like I was just doing something great because I saw the greatness in you, not realizing, like, girl, you can't influence somebody unless you know you mm-hmm. are the influence, right? So you can't yes. you can't be bold enough to say, girl, Charlie, no, girl, bye. See you later. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do some big things unless you felt that in you. And so again, mm-hmm. that projection, but in a positive way, transfers mm-hmm. in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And to say, hey, even if I don't see it in myself, I see it in you. So go forth, girl. I got you. Congratulations. How can I support you? How yes. can I help you? And so having those moments, and I think it didn't hit me until I saw you, and you were the influence to make me say, girl, check who you influence, right? And when I saw you say you passed your test, and then you was like, oh, sorry, my private practice. I'm like, yes! This is what we've been going for, right? Yes. And seeing you say, okay, I want to be more involved, and seeing you do a multiple city, country, state, international talks, I'm like, yes, that's what she does. And seeing your passion behind it and saying, girl, go forth, do your thing. So with that being said, let's talk about this podcast, girl, that's coming up.
Yes, it is coming out in July. It's called Black Girl Body Podcast, and it's going to be streamed through all of the major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. And the gist of it is basically talking about everything that Black women go through just because of the way that we look. And so just kind of talking about colorism, talking about, you know, being Black in the workplace, or being a Black woman in the workplace, you know, being a mom, and how you got this, sometimes you got the baby mama, this, you know, just all these different terms that comes along with just being a Black woman, and just kind of bringing light to some of those situations. It's raw, it's uncut, it's R-rated, so make sure that you get ready for that. And it's also the fact that I have men that are guests on there too, to hear males' perspectives, because, you know, as women, we know everything, right? And so, you know, just kind of going head, not head to head, but just having a very educated debate in a sense of hearing a male's perspective on a woman and woman's perspective of a male. And so, yeah, so it's basically just everything related to being a Black woman. It is Black Girl Body.
Yes, I'm so excited. Now, what is it called again?
Black Girl Body.
Black Girl Body. Y'all know, if y'all on Jesus Plus Therapy 6 page, if y'all follow us, we talk about honoring those who honor us, and we're so grateful to have the opportunity, one, to have her on here before she get big with this podcast, y'all, because if she get big, I'm going to be like, hey, girl, you remember me, right? And then, two, the ability to say, girl, you doing it. Welcome to the podcast family. And so I'm so excited about this this great adventure, what you'd like to do as far as the talks and the passion you continue to grow in. Because, y'all, every time we get together, of course, body image is nowhere near. And when she told me about all the disorders and how they affect the Black community, because just like she said, myth is we only think this is what white females, suburban females, go through. And so to hear her say, girl, no, it was me. I was, put me in the number. I'm like, girl, for real? And so when I heard her journey, when I heard her testimony, it was just mind-blowing. And I was like, man. And she doesn't look like what she's been through. I mean, great and awesome testimony. And so I'm glad to hear you say, I'm growing my relationship with God. Like, girl, because I was putting you on the prayer list, like, Jesus, okay? Come on.
Don't forget. Went through.
Because you was just like, I'm done. Like,
And I was doing stuff. I was moving crazy. Whew, I've been delivered. And you know what I'm saying? I am delivered.
Delivered. Right. Yes, so
I had to change.
And listen, if it took your baby to change it, that's fine. You know, God does stuff in the craziest ways. And all we can do is be obedient and be alert and, you know, really just take in consideration who he is and what greatness he can do. So what are some things you feel like you need to leave our audience with? We know we have some technical difficulties, y'all. So this is going to be a remix.
I just want to leave everybody with knowing that whatever your body looks like, it's beautiful. No matter what it is, no matter how you feel in it, you're going to have those days where you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm not feeling it today. But it still doesn't mean that it's not beautiful, right? God made you a certain way in a certain image for you to do certain things that you are destined to do. And so you have to be able to figure out what it is that I'm put on earth for and be able to do that in the body that God created for you, right? And be able to make strides, leaps and bounds, and go through these challenges, because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. We just talked about if you only knew what I went through to get to where I'm at today, but being able to still maintain your mental stability, your body image, being able to maintain where you're going, that will be able to keep you focused, right? So,
yeah. Are there any affirmations that help you that you repeated to yourself to get to this place of awareness when it came to you? Is there any affirmation that you
could gonna check me?
Who gonna check me, boo?
Who gonna check me? No, but seriously, I would just compliment on things that I don't like about myself. Okay. I would compliment those things and say, you know, even though this is here, you are still beautiful. Mm-hmm. Whatever affirmations come up, I give myself permission today to be joyful, to be happy. I give myself permission today to cry because I had a bad night or something bad just happened and it's okay for me to cry, right? So I love giving myself permission to do something, and that's affirming how I feel.
And that's definitely a whole nother thing, because as Black women, we don't have the ability to give permission to do anything, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's so crazy that you say this. And I just want to, I know we're supposed to be closing, but I want to talk about one more thing, code switching as a body image. So going back, I know a lot of times people don't think about code switching. We think about verbiage when it comes to code switching. But there are times that we code switch with body image. So a great example is that is church, right? We code switch when it comes to church, right? And you know, we know there's a protocol, we know there's a dress code, but there's also a code that comes with that dress, right? When I wear my long maxi dress that covers me from head to toe, I can't be the same person in that long maxi dress I was at the club that I had that night in church, even though it may be the same dress. Right. So a lot of times we code switch in our body image. Let's go back to the person who's getting the snatched body, right? Mm-hmm. That snatched body is to change the code of how they're perceived by others. So when they get that booty, how they was before that booty is not how they are after that booty. There's another code switching. There's something that clicks that says, hey, this is how the persona I'm supposed to have versus the persona I'm not supposed to have. Also, when it comes to being a wife or a mother, there's a code switch that comes with that as well, right? And the code switch may be, oh, I'm somebody's mama now. I can't wear this particular thing, right? Or I can't go to her school in this particular thing, when in reality, prior to motherhood, you ain't how you went to
you didn't care.
Right
now you somebody's mom,
now you somebody's mom, and that's a constant thing going, I'm somebody's daughter, I'm somebody's wife, I'm somebody's mama, I'm somebody this, I'm somebody that. Even as therapists, we code switching our dress. How we talk to each other as Black therapists will not be how we talk to our colleagues. Even how we present to each other is totally different. When I'm at a conference and I'm around Black colleagues, there are certain types of dress that I'll put on if I'm kicking it with my Black colleagues. Versus right. I'm around that mixed crowd, I'm like, I'm very cautious of how I sit. I'm very cautious of how I present non-verbal and verbal languages. I'm very cautious about my tone. So there are a lot of code switching things that, you know, that come with that. Go ahead.
You know, I'm thinking about, why do we do that? Why do we have to code switch, right? Like, why can't we be who we are with our Black colleagues than how we are with our other counterparts, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because it's kind of like this understood, don't have to be explained type of thing that we just do. Like, it just happens. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, because I'm thinking, like, if I'm interacting how I would interact with my Black colleagues, with my white colleagues or counterparts, is it a feeling of like embarrassment, or is it a feeling of like, I don't want them to think this and this about me, so I gotta make sure I gotta enunciate or you know, be able to have this right vocabulary when I'm talking to them, you know? And it's unfortunate that we have to do those things, and it's more unfortunate that we know to do it instantly, right? It just happens. So, you know, it just makes me think about, why do we do that, you know? So
yeah, most definitely. And we can see that even we can see a lot of swishing, right? And we do even in our hair, when we're in our hair. And you know, I see that all the time because I've been natural for over 20 years. Like, I'm going into my 21st year of being natural. So I got natural before natural got popular.
Hello. And,
right. So trendsetter. But I'm being a little bit anyway. And I remember how my sorority sister was like, you okay? You gonna put another perm in your hair? Right? So these other Black women going to that colorism, because colorism is not just about color, sometimes it's about our hair. What's good hair versus bad hair, right? We have those things that take place that are part of our body images as well. I have. And so that's why you see there are certain women who may wear the afro, but they wear the afro in a presentable way. It ain't just everywhere. It's shaped up. It's got some decor around it. It has a depth to it, right? Or somebody who's wearing their hair natural. And then you have the sister with the relaxed hair. Mm-hmm. And so I think what you need to understand in general, there's always a code switching that's taking place. And so there's not a body image that's saved. The only body image that's saved is yours, the one that God gave you. And so when you realize that that's the body image that saves, you'll never have to switch again.
That's deep.
So with that being said, y'all, thank y'all for coming. Charlie, thank you for coming. Give them how they can come in contact with you. How can how they can make you your, how can you be their therapist?
Yeah, so you can follow me at CR Counseling LLC on both Instagram and Facebook. And then for my podcast, on Instagram is at Black Girl Body, and on TikTok is at The Black Girl Body. You can also find my website at www.crcounselingllc.com, or you can give me a call at 205-644-8796.
But sis, thank you so much for being here. Besides my technical difficulties, this has definitely been a good show, and I look forward to listening to your podcast. Y'all, until next time, we'll see you soon.
Bye.